Okay, good morning. You all got to sleep. Joe, you sent them to sleep. Just before I get into my talk, just want to pick up on the theme that's been running through, or a strong theme that's been running through about the whole Father, God being our Father. You know, when you read the scriptures and you read the New Testament, you see that Jesus was very comfortable and very confident in who his Father was. He knew. He knew his relationship with the Father. And interesting, he knew from, if the young people were still in here, I'd be saying this to them, he knew from a very young age. So, you know, we have the whole Christmas story and then it suddenly jumps and where is he? He's as a young boy, he gets lost. And they can't find him. And where do they find him? They find him in the temple, sat with all the religious scholars. And they say, we've been looking for you. And he says, what does he say? He says, did you not know I would be about my Father's business? He knew who he was. And he knew what that meant. And that's where we need to be when we think about Abba and when we think about Father. It's not just how nice it is, but actually it's who we are in that and what that means and everything. A bit like Pauline said about inheritance, but there's something of who we are because we are sons and daughters. And actually then there's something that we are called into. Jesus knew all of that. So you want to do a study this week, do a study on who Jesus was and what that means to us. But anyway, that's not our topic this morning. Neither is our topic 40 days of prayer, which it would have been if Tony had been here. But Tony and Doreen send the love. I rang them this morning and had a conversation and in the end said, I don't think it's wise that you drive across here this morning, take the risks in blizzards. We'll readjust a bit. And that's why some of the things in the news sheet don't quite match this morning. But God's here. And so I began to, this morning, dig back into my quiet time yesterday and also prompted by some conversations I've had in the last couple of days. And hence, we are going to be where we are today. When David first started, right at the start, I would have suggested that possibly he'd been reading my notes, if I had any. But as I don't, he can't have been. But anyway, here's a little test for you. Have we got my PowerPoint? Nope, that woke Holly up. It's not on. I was given to understand it was on. Just the PowerPoint is just the introduction, really. That's just to remind you who you are. We are Hexham Community Church. Actually, good point to remind ourselves of that triangle. You know, this, we're about love God, love the church, love others, and everything we do should fit there somewhere. That's another sermon again. But let's go on to the next slide. This will test you. So, this is a hint as to what book you need to find this morning. See if we can give any prizes for who can get the book from that picture. You're going to groan when I tell you it. Any triers? Got to think out the box. No. Let me give you some hints and see if... I would love to hear over coffee how you got there, but it's definitely not Exodus. Galatians, very good. How did you get there, Carol? Gull laid an egg, very good. Gull lays shiny egg. Galatians. Galatians. I told you it was corny. The thing about these corny things is it's hard to forget them. Gullah shines. The Gullah is a shiny egg. So we're heading to Galatians. If you want to be finding Galatians 5, well, I'll tell you a little bit about Galatians. And if we have the next slide. So these are notes just from the slide package that I have for remembering the Bible. They're all good. It says this, Galatians is about being unshackled. This picture of an unshackled gull, remember, there was chains there that were loosened. Laying a shining egg will stick in your mind forever. Gull lay shine. It will remind you of the book of Galatians. And that heavy chain falling off your friendly gull will remind you that the key word of Galatians is unshackled. Unshackled. Next slide. So it says the fine line between the obligation to obey the law of God and the freedom to obey him is at the heart of this letter of Paul. It is the basic distinction between the old and new covenants of God with man. Does man have to satisfy God's law to be forgiven? Or once forgiven, i.e. unshackled from the rigidity of the law, does man have power and freedom in the spirit to please God? These are all good nuggets. Next one. To the Galatians, Paul reestablishes the primacy of life in the spirit. The Judaizers, whose teachings place believers back into slavery to the law, are rebuked, and the Galatians are exhorted to walk in the spirit rather than the lust of the flesh. So that's the book we're in this morning. That's just a little taster of the book we're in. I wonder if I could have a volunteer to come and read for me Galatians 5, verses 1 to 12. Got a volunteer to come and read those verses for me? Don't all rush at once. Come on then, Rosie. Yep. And Sheila, if you get ready for further on, you can get the next lot of verses of the rest of the chapter. Is that all right? But let's do 1 to 12 first. Any version, it doesn't matter. From 1 to 12.
Can you hear me? It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Would that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves.
Thank you. Some tough talking there from Paul. How many men here this morning are really pleased that Paul's preaching didn't include circumcision? But you know, the truth is that if we're not careful, we can put ourselves under similar obligation to that issue. We might not be panicking over whether we should be circumcised. We might not live under that, oh, I feel guilty, God, because I'm not circumcised. But the reality is there are modern-day equivalents that we can get under, that we can feel constrained in the same way. We can live our lives as if under law in the same way that chapter says, We just have different issues. And the question for us today is, do we want to live under law, or do we want to live by the Spirit? That's the nub of what we're tackling here. And so in this first part, 1 to 13, I want to think about the whole issue of how we can be driven to be living under the law rather than by the Spirit. I do bear in mind, I had about 10 minutes to prepare this morning, so bear with me. I need two volunteers. Come on then, Marilyn. And go on, Lisa. Yep. My two beautiful assistants. Can you hold that one on that side? And if you hold that one on that side. Word and Spirit. Those who know me well know that I love the whole Wigglesworth prophetic word about the Word and Spirit. If you want something, some good reading when you go home today, look up the prophetic word by Wigglesworth about when the Word and Spirit come together, there will be revival. And I've been impacted by that over the years and still remain impacted by that. But what we're talking about today is the way that we live our lives and whether we get bound by the Word or whether we live in the freedom of the Spirit. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, it says. What does that mean to us in reality? I just want to give some very simple examples this morning. We can have Joel, Kevin, me, Andy, whoever, stand up, Holly, and preach week in, week out. You can hear us say things like, how's your quiet time? Are you close to God? Is God speaking to you in your quiet time? And we can do a couple of things. We can go home through that word and in the pressure of the word, I need to read my Bible. I'm running out of time. I've got to get to work. I've got this to fit in. The kids want things, but I've got to read my Bible. I need to get close to God. Bang, 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 bang. I'm under the word. I'm legalistic. I must. Before you know where you are, you're worn out. Or, I hear the word. Do you know what? God wants me to have a relationship with him. God wants to speak to me. God loves me. And in my busy time of life, I want to find time to flow in his Spirit, to hear him speak, to hear him whisper to me, to hear him tell me, I love you, to hear his words, to enjoy his presence. You see the difference? Difference between the power of being under the word and the law. I must. Just love being in his presence. Whether it's 2 minutes of the day, 10 minutes of the day, 2 hours of the day, I just love being under that Spirit, not under that legalistic word. Is the word good? Absolutely. How we adapt it and how we apply it makes it bring either life or death. Is it good that we come and have our theology nights? Is it good that we go to dig down deep? Is it good that we get on the School of Bible and Mission, or the new title now, the what? School of Applied Theology, just to bring us up to date. Is it good that we do all those things and we fill ourselves with a deeper understanding of God's word and be able to apply it? Yes, it is. But if it only takes us into condemnation and legalism, it's like the circumcision. It is of no value to us. It only becomes value to us when we take what we've learned and we take our understanding and we put it to the Spirit. Can you see what I'm saying? We can read our Bibles and we can begin to read all the things that God says in there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do the other. And it's all true. But if it only leads us to, right, I shouldn't lie. I better not lie. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. I need somehow in myself to make sure I don't do all the wrong things. I shouldn't think the thoughts I think, because the Bible says it's wrong. We can have all the theology and understanding in the world, and we can have exactly what it says in the Bible, and we can be so condemned because in our own strength, we can't achieve it. Do you know what the truth is? In our own strength, we'll never achieve it. While we're under this word, we'll constantly fail. Sad reality is so many Christians in this time live like that. Constantly trying to do it themselves. I want you to imagine this morning you've got boots on, I can't, and that they've got laces, I can't. And you undo your laces and you get hold of your laces and you try to pull yourself off the ground by your own laces. That's what it's like, trying to do all these things in your own strength. It's impossible. Or the other example I heard somebody give is you get two buckets, you stand inside the buckets and try to lift the buckets with you in. It's just not going to happen, is it? Gravity will defy you, especially for some of us. But when we actually live by the Spirit, it's no longer me trying to be good, trying to not do all the bad things. Actually, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he brings us to not do those things, to have his heart about those things. It becomes not a legalistic, you must not. It becomes a, God, I don't want to because it offends you. Holy Spirit, I don't want to because you've changed me. You've transformed me. The Spirit enables me to live that way, not me striving to do all those things. You can sit down for a minute, but sit where you are because I need you again in a minute. I want to contrast two things here. Really, that's all about the things we mustn't do that we get condemned by. Would you come and read the rest of the chapter for me?
You, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Thank you. My beautiful assistants, like to stand again. Just keep hold of that key verse. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's the key verse this morning. It was for freedom. Freedom from the law. But in that chapter, again, we've got lots of things we mustn't do. All of the sins. We've already tackled that. We know we can just hang on to that in this side, or we can, by his Spirit, ask him to help us with those issues. But then we've got this whole list again now of the good things we need to do. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, peace, all of those things. Oh man, I've got to love. I've got to be joyful. I've got to be peaceful when everything's going mad around me. I'm not very good at all these good things. I've got to be nice to those folk at church. I've even got to love that person at work that just winds me up so much. I can't do this. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord. Joy of the Lord is my strength. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed on him. See the difference? Holy Spirit, teach me your word. Teach me your ways. Help me to be all that you want me to be. As I step out today and I fail to love as you would love, as I sink in lack of joy, as I drown in lack of peace at times, Holy Spirit, come and help me to remember to be still and know then in the midst of this, you are God. Oh, how can I be peaceful? How can I be happy? How can I do it? I will be nice to Sheila. I hope you're getting the picture. And then comes the verses on top of that. The preachers, you can sit down. Thank you. I think they've got the message. Thank you. Give them a clap. Thank you. Sorry. And then comes the verses that tell us all about how we should be servants. And man, it kicks in again. I could have had, and you've heard me do this before, I could have had my beautiful assistant study the side this morning with another couple of papers saying, Mary and Martha. And which side are you on? Mary or Martha? And which side is even right? I've heard so many people say, but the serving stuff needs doing. You're dead right, it does. Thank God for those who serve. You know by now, I try as much as I can to thank those who serve, thank those who give so many hours and so much willingness and put themselves out. We need people to serve us with worship. We need people to serve us with our young people and our kids. We need all these things, but not at the expense of being with Mary at the feet of Jesus. As you know, all of those things that we serve and do, as good as they are rubbish without being where Mary is. Because we'll end up with the best will in the world, we'll end up at this side, disgruntled, and we'll end up feeling used we'll end up feeling unappreciated because we'll begin, if we're doing it out of our own striving, to do it for the wrong reasons. We do it not for the appreciation of the Father. We do it for the appreciation of man. And when man doesn't appreciate us, it's nothing. But when we're over here, everything we do. Do you know what? Did Kevin notice that I did that? Did he appreciate it? Doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. God knows. And that, even in that, I've been there where I said, God, you know. He didn't notice, but you notice, God. You know. It's not what it's about, is it? It's God. I just sit at your feet. And all of the things that are good that I do over there, I bring them lay at your feet. I say, Lord, not interested in anybody else's praise. Anybody else's. I just love you, Jesus. Why would I not want to serve you for who you are? For all you've done. For all that love. Why would I not want to? A massive difference between being the hamster on the wheel that's always trying to, and not only, you know, not just trying to satisfy man, trying to satisfy God. I need to do this to get God's approval. No, you don't. My kids don't have to run around after me to get my approval. They have it unreservedly. My kids don't have to be the best of the best. My kids don't have to never let me down to know my love. They just need to be with me. I just love spending time with my kids. Whether it's my son and daughter, whether it's my grandkids, my son-in-law, I just love it. Friday, I was over in Teesside, and we'd had a text saying, "Could you look after Ben, my grandson?" And so I stayed over, and I eventually got home at something like midnight on Friday night because they went out, and Eleanor was at youth, and I took Ben for a drive out, and we went to visit his great granddad, and we went to McDonald's and had a milkshake, and went back home and watched a video. Do you think that was hard work for me? For a number of reasons, it wasn't hard work for me. One, I just loved my grandkids. And two, I loved the fact that I was helping my daughter. They don't need to do anything to get my approval and my love. It's inherent. They will never be written off by me. So I don't know whether any of you, I'm winding up on us, don't know whether any of you have ever been written out of a will, thinking about wills again. I have. I've been written out of a will. Not by my parents, actually, by step-parents who decided that they would ignore my mum's wishes and all of her possessions would go to their kids, not my mother's kids. And I'll tell you what, it hurt. You know, for a little while, myself and some of my brothers got into a legal battle over it, till in the end we looked at each other and said, what are we doing here? A, we're not going to win. We've had it here. And B, is it worth it? But for a while, for me, and particularly one of my other brothers, who had helped my mum buy a house and put deposits down on it and all sorts, and to see it all go there was a real sense of injustice, and we want to put this right. But, you know, eventually you get to the point where you think, do you know what? I've still got the love and memories of my mum and dad. They can never take that from me. They could take all the finances in the world away from me. They will not take the love of my mum and dad away from me. And that's true of us. So the next time you are tempted to try and live under the word, or try and live in the Martha world rather than being in the world of His Spirit, His love, His peace, just stop. As the psalmist says, be still and know He's God. There is nothing you can do that will earn His love any more than you already have. I want to finish with this because I think it's important. Hear what I'm saying here. We're a church that, I don't know whether you've ever been there, where you have to fill forms in. What religion are you? What religion am I? Or somebody says, what type of church do you go to? Do you know what? And often we'll say, well, we're charismatic. Some might say, evangelical. Do you know what? We're only charismatic if we have the Spirit with us. Charismatic's a great name, but without the Spirit, we're not charismatic. I want to encourage you. If you've never been baptized in the Spirit, strive for it. If you want to strive for anything, strive for that. Get out, ask somebody, I want to be filled with the Spirit for the first time. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that will empower you to move from the Word into Spirit. If you've been baptized in the Spirit, just remember, the Scripture doesn't say, be baptized in the Spirit and that's it. It's all done. You've ticked that box. What's the next box? Actually, it says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually. It's a continuing verb. It's something that keeps on happening. It only will if you put yourself in a place for it to keep happening. Told you before, and then honestly, I will finish. When I was a kid, I watched my brothers and my cousins, and we had the old penitent form at the front of the church I was at, where you went down for prayer. And as a youngster, I watched in a church where the Spirit was moving, and boy, was the Spirit moving. And I watched week after week my brothers, cousins, down at the penitent form. And do you know what? I started to go down to the penitent form. And if I'm honest, at first, I don't think I really knew why. I just looked and thought, well, they do it, so I'll do it. It seems to be the thing to do. Doesn't seem to do them any harm. But you know, as I began to go and respond and God began to speak to me, it changed my life. I didn't just get saved once. I got saved and went back and back for more and more. My constant prayer has always been, from those days, the old chorus, I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. It's a greedy prayer. And it's a good prayer. And if more of Jesus is what you need this morning, I say this so many times, and I really mean it. I will never tire of seeing the same faces out the front for prayer. I will never tire of seeing it. Don't ever think, I can't go out there again. Actually, it needs to be the opposite. I need to be out there again. Because you can never get enough of Jesus. You can never get enough of the Holy Spirit. You will never be too full, because we need to be so full of the Holy Spirit that it's pouring out of us. So I want to ask you this morning, is the Holy Spirit pouring out of you? Are you like that sponge that when you touch it, it just flows out? If not, you need more. So I'm going to give you permission this morning. When we're having prayer, if you're so full of the Holy Spirit that it oozes out of you, you can stay in your seats. I'm being naughty there, but you know what I'm saying. Don't ever think, I've got it all. I've done it. I've ticked all the boxes. Keep pursuing the Spirit. And you will move from word and legalism to spirit and freedom. And that's where we want to be. God bless you.